First Light Church. Today's sermon is God Still Loves Us.
Very good morning to everyone. Got a lot of things going on at the moment. Christmas, lots of cool stores. So make sure you get outside after this message and check it out. Get involved. It's really awesome. The team have done a really great job, and you know, I've gone to such a great effort to really give us a practical way of impacting the lives of people, and it's awesome to see. You know, only 3 weeks until Christmas, and I feel like I say this every year, but man, the year has really flown by. So, 23rd December. Invite your families, invite your friends. You know, it'll be a great time. The worship team and is planning something very cool. So make sure you come along and just really celebrate Jesus and the real reason why Christmas is important for us. So it's nice to see everyone, and it's great to be up here sharing the word with you again, and a very warm welcome to everyone. If you are new, if you're here for the first time, we welcome you. We pray that you will be blessed this morning. My name is Kay, and I am one of the Grace preachers, and Pastor has entrusted this particular season to us while he is on long service leave. I think next week is Jeremy Ng, and then Pastor will be back for Christmas after that. When I first saw the schedule of Grace preachers, I was excited. Actually, I was a bit shocked at first because my name was there twice in the space of 3 weeks. The pastor must have got me in my moment of weakness, in one of those Holy Spirit worship moments where he comes up to you, "Hey, do you want to preach?" Okay. So after that initial shock and dismay, I was actually ultimately excited. And one of the reasons that I was excited was that on the schedule, I was scheduled to preach after Jade Lewis. Now, how many of you were here last week and were blessed by the interview? Hands up. You know, I certainly was. And thanks to Sarah and the Grace at Work team for organizing and making that happen. So for those of you who weren't here last week, I encourage you to jump on the First Light website, get onto the sermon section, and have a listen. It's an awesome story of how the gospel impacts people's lives and brings about spiritual healing to people who are broken in a very real and practical way. And another reason I was excited to share today after Jade was because my story and my testimony and my journey of faith is similar to her story in many ways, just minus all the elite athlete, business person of the year award, meeting the premier stuff. But nevertheless, listening to her story and her journey that God has taken her on caused me to reflect on my own. And I guess when you hear testimonies, they can cause you to reflect on your own. You know, years ago, I too was an addict. And years ago, I too was broken. I was lost, without purpose, and without hope. And my journey of faith started by first finding love, forgiveness, and then acceptance in Christ. But in some ways, just as important, my journey of faith was then built and discovered and nurtured in a community. And that community was this church here. And what started with love, forgiveness, and acceptance has become a journey of discovering my identity and understanding who I am, and discovering what my new life in Christ is all about. What does it mean to be a child of God, adopted into his family? What does it mean to be a new creation, forgiven and accepted? What does it mean to walk in life with every spiritual blessing in Christ and in abundance? And more so lately, how does my purpose and my calling fit into who I am and who God has created me to be? And for a lot of us, the journey of discovery and of faith and of purpose and calling is an ongoing thing. You know, we're discovering that more and more each day, and we're learning new lessons each and every day. But I want to say, and I want to encourage you, church, that it's okay to be on a journey. And I know a lot of us are. Some of us may be more advanced in that journey of discovery than others. Some of us are just starting out. But what I would suggest to you this morning is that you don't have to have all the answers right away. And it doesn't matter where you are in that journey of discovery. What matters is that you continue to discover. And listening to Jade Lewis's story, you know, a couple of things really struck out for me. Number one, love is at the heart of grace. The message of the gospel and of grace essentially boils down to this. God loved us despite everything that we are. And the gospel of grace has the power to change people's lives in very real and tangible ways. But at the heart of that is simply that God loves us, and his desire is for us to be brought back to him and made whole, set free, and complete. The second thing that really struck me was that God is faithful in your calling and your purpose. You know, for us hearing stories about ministries, and when we see what the ministry, you know, the Yellow Ribbon Project is like now and the good work that people are doing, you know, it's great to recognize where they are, but, you know, it started somewhere with something. It was birthed from an idea, from a vision, and from a calling. And no doubt, a lot of hard work. But it's a reminder that if God has given you a vision or a purpose or a calling, he will be faithful in seeing it out. And the third thing that really struck me was that healing is nurtured through community and relationships. Now, we've been talking, you know, a bit about community lately, and it was great to hear stories about communities out there coming together to support and bring healing to each other's lives. And it's cool because, you know, we've been talking about the role of community in encouraging one another to move forward and keep running the race God has set before us. Hey, it's actually part of First Light's vision statement. As a community of Jesus Christ, we bring healing to lives, make disciples, and multiply across nations. And I'll be coming back to sort of elements of some of that throughout today's message. But what I wanted to start with, because what's on my heart this morning, church, is to encourage us that each and every one of us hold a message of grace, love, hope, and purpose that is the answer and healing to many of life's challenges and brokenness. And ultimately, the gospel of grace is a message that can transform people, families, and communities. And this is something that is worth persevering for and pursuing, because at the heart of it all is that the people that God has created matter to him, and people matter to God. So my message today is based on Ephesians chapter 2. I love Ephesians. It's got so much revelation that speaks to the amazing love and the abundance of life and spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And all of it as a gift, freely given to us by a God that simply loves us. And I've titled my message, God Still Loved Us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1-4. And his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our mind dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath like everyone else. Now, in those first four verses of chapter 2, Paul begins by providing a pretty intense description of, you know, who we were before Christ came into the picture. And you know what? You can never accuse Paul of sugarcoating his words. Imagine if you ask someone for some constructive feedback as from you as a person, and they described you as a corpse dead in sin and offense. You know, that would be really one way to test a relationship, but it doesn't stop there. Paul continues and describes what our lives look like in the absence of grace and in the absence of the gospel. What life looked like before we accepted Christ. He goes on to describe that we were sinful, we were offensive, we were disobedient, we were corrupt, but not only were we were corrupt from the day we were born. We were selfish, we were rebellious, but at the end of it all, the good news is that despite all of that, God still loved us. And he still loved us with great love, rich in compassion and mercy. And in those four words, God still loved us, is essentially what the gospel of grace is built upon. And the thing about a truth as simple yet as profound as the words God still loved us is that, like most things in life, for people who know it or have it, it's something we gloss over. It's something we hear regularly and often we don't think twice about. But for people who don't know it or don't have it, it can be life-changing. God's love is quite literally at the heart of the gospel. God still loves us despite all of the above. But what's more is that God was so rich in compassion and mercy that even when we were dead and doomed, he unified us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He didn't just save us to the minimum requirement. He gave us the very best life that we could imagine. He united us to the very life of Christ. And you know, grace is like a lifeline to a second chance in life. A life that is united to the very person of Jesus Christ. And the good news that we preach, church, and it's good news that a lot of people who are broken, who are without hope, need to hear. Those first couple of verses describe what we were, that we were once a corpse, dead in sin and offense. But the good news is that by grace, we are alive, united in Christ, sinless and without offense. Before Christ, we were corrupt from the moment we were born. But the good news is that by grace, we are new creations in Christ, born again, perfect in God's sight. Before Christ, we were selfish. But the good news is that by grace, we are now selfless, extravagant in our giving because God first gave extravagantly to us. And it's the grace of God that elevates us undeservedly into the same seat and place of authority as Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, he raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. You know, to be co-seated in heaven means we have been given the perfection and the authority to be there. Not because of anything that we've done, but by grace. You have the authority to sit next to Christ at the same table. In fact, we are co-seating with him. We're sharing that same seat. And in the span of five verses in Ephesians chapter 2, we have gone from corpses, dead in our sins and our offenses, to being raised up, co-seated with Christ, given perfection and authority. And the thing that bridges that gap and the thing that makes that possible is the name of Jesus and what he did on the cross. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness, which were showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in Him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. You know, Paul describes us as the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of God's grace and kindness. The truth is, you know, for a lot of us, that description may seem very far away from what we feel or perceive of us on a daily basis. But you are the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness by simply being who you are. And what do I mean by that? Well, the fact that we are here in Christ, believers, saved, already makes us the display of God's grace and kindness. The fact that we are here able to worship freely in His presence and that we're here serving in whatever capacity that we have, having communion with God in a personal, intimate relationship, we can do all of that despite all of our personal inadequacies and personal failings, despite the challenges of life. And that is in itself the display of God's grace. The fact that we can stand together as a community before our God, openly and freely, in communion with Him, that is in itself the display of grace. There is nothing more that you and I need to do other than to just stand in the presence of God and enjoy who Christ is. Because if we could demonstrate that we deserve to do any of that, well, that's a display of our own works and not of His grace and His kindness. And that truth has practical implications for the way we approach life. Because being a display of grace does not mean you need to uphold an image for the church or for the world to see. You don't need to have it all figured out to display God's grace. And it's actually the opposite. We are displays of God's grace by acknowledging that despite all of our failings, all of our own inadequacies and imperfections, we can still stand here in the presence of God and be declared to be perfect and good. And that's the display of grace. Grace is God declaring that I am a new creation in Christ despite all of this. God's grace is glorified in weakness. And what that means is that we can be real about our failings and the challenges of life as people in a community of grace. And a community of grace provides a platform to be honest and real about life. It's grace that enables us to walk forward as a community in honesty. And it's grace that allows us as a community to really be open and allow each other to fail, but to lift each other up when we do. We have become His poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. You know, there is a purpose and good works given to each of us. You know, you don't need me to stand here and preach to you for 20 minutes about that. All of you know that there is an assignment for each of us in this season. But what I want to encourage you, though, is that in fulfilling that assignment, you release someone else to fulfill theirs. You not only add to your story, but you play a role in someone else's story. And ultimately, our faithfulness in fulfilling our assignment and in doing these good works helps someone to fulfill theirs. You know, that was a period sort of a couple of years ago where I left church tired and burnt out, you know, and I stepped away and found myself drawing away from church entirely. But after a while, you know, I felt God drawing me back to the purpose and the calling that he had for my life again. But I was in this sort of internal struggle and wrestle with God. I could sense him drawing me back, but I didn't know if I wanted to really pursue it all again. But I found that one of the things that I missed very much was intimacy with Christ. You know, I really missed worshiping God and just enjoying Jesus in worship. So one night, you know, I decided to have my own personal worship experience by myself in my living room. My expectation was that, you know, I'd fall into deep, intimate worship again, and I would have this Jacob moment with God. You know, I'd wrestle him all night, and I'd come out in the morning with all the answers that I needed in life. So I put on all my favorite worship. I stood there in the middle of the room worshiping God, and I didn't know what I was expecting, but I was expecting something. I wanted a word, a vision, a reminder, anything that would remind me that God had not forgotten about me or my purpose or my calling. And I worshipped and I worshipped and I worshipped for hours, but all I got was silence. I heard nothing, I saw nothing, and to me, I received nothing that night. And I remember very distinctively walking away from that room and going to bed and lying there in bed thinking, well, that's it. I'm done with God's purposes. I'm done with this whole calling purpose thing. I'm done. I'm finished. And the next morning, lo and behold, I get an email from Pastor Richard. Now, at this time, you know, I'd drawn away from church for quite a while, right? And there were very few people I was actually in contact with during that time. So for him to email me out of the blue was strange, to say the least. So I open up the email, and it says this. It's been a while. I'm not sure where your faith journey is at. Do you want to come and sit in at the next Great Preachers meeting? And at the end of the email, it says, I still believe in your call. Now, I received this email after that night with God. And in preparing for this message, I actually looked for that set of emails again in my inbox. Luckily, Gmail has a large storage space. Tracks everything. And I found the set of emails, and I wrote this back to Pastor. And it was actually, I looked at the date, actually, and it was actually 2 days after Pastor emailed me. So it took 2 days for me to process all this. You know, one night I was so desperate for God, and then I received something, and then it took me 2 days to really act on anything. And I wrote this back to him. The exact. Even though I've tried, I have never been able to shake the feeling of God's call. Lately, it's been in my thoughts more and more. I feel like I've been continually reminded through all sorts of strange places, articles, people I see, things people say to me. Interestingly, the night before this email, I was praying to God for something. I don't know what exactly, something, anything. I miss the intimacy I used to experience. I was expecting to immediately jump into an intimate worship experience, but nothing. I left disappointed, thinking, maybe that's it. Then your email came through the morning after, and I guess God is never too late. And how's this for an understatement? Probably not a coincidence. And it sounds like I have to go on Monday. I'll see you there. How's that for conviction? You know, and I wonder in reflecting on that situation, you know, what if Pastor missed that email that morning? You know, I do believe that God would have eventually found another way to reach me, just maybe a bit later. But you know what? I wouldn't have that story to hold on to as part of my faith journey if Pastor had missed that email. And you know, that story for me was one of the defining moments of my walk with God. It was the spark that I needed 3 years ago to start the journey again after being tired. And my point is that there are good works for you and I to do. We have absolutely no idea how one act of faithfulness could spark a change in someone else's life. How one word or prayer for someone could change something in someone's spirit. How one smile or conversation with someone could remind them that they are not alone and that they matter to God. You know, I know some of you have similar stories in your life, you know, God stories, and I dare say it probably involves someone else playing a role in that story. See, a lot of the things that we do in faithfulness will seem benign, but you never know what impact that is having on a person. You know, in those times where I drew away from church, I would still come to church and I would worship. And on my face, it looked like nothing was happening, right? But inside, God was working a tremendous work in me by reminding me of his love and his purpose and calling. But just because someone is standing there with a straight face does not mean that God is not working inside of them. And my encouragement to you, church, is to keep being faithful in the little assignments that God has given each and every single one of us, because they can make an eternal difference in the life of the people around us. You know, as I was preparing for the messages that that I've preached lately, I think there is a shift in the season that this church is in, and it's taking place right now. You know, sort of throughout this year, we've been talking a lot about the Avoda life, the seamless life of work, worship, and service. You know, Jesse last week talked about the change in that Avoda culture. It's this shift in culture and our understanding that is preparing us as a community for the next season. And it's exciting because that shift in culture is paralleled by a shift in our prayers and our worship. From praying, God, when will this season be over? And God, what's the next season for me? To God, I'm ready for whatever season is next. And I sense that in this church that there is a readiness and a hunger that is stirring to begin dreaming again and to pursue after God's purpose and calling again, despite how scary or how difficult it may be. And it's exciting, church, because, you know, I hope and pray that you are excited to be a part of it. You know, we're all going to play a role in that in the next season. And, you know, as I reflect on sort of my journey of faith and that I've gone through in the past couple of years, you know, and that I still am going through, you know, it started with a question. You know, at the lowest point of my life, someone had the courage and the boldness to ask me whether I wanted to turn to Jesus in the midst of my brokenness. You know, I sat in the room of my, or sat on the floor in my bedroom and accepted Christ and prayed with my then girlfriend at the time, which is now my wife, Naomi. You know, she led me to Christ after I wrote a suicide note, actually, because I was so low that I was ready to end it all. But that question that led me on a journey to where I am today, that journey that I took was not by myself. I had people journey with me as mentors, as leaders, as teachers, and as friends. Some people are still here. Some have moved on. But I say this with utmost sincerity and truth, that there are people in this community who have played a role in changing my life. And I would not be here today if it weren't for the people in First Light Church. And I say all of this because the gospel that you and I have inside of us has the power to change people's lives. Jade Lewis's story is an example of that. I myself are an example of that. There are people here who are examples of that and have stories to tell. And what excites me now is that I think God is reminding us as a community of that purpose and that calling again. That the gospel is for the broken. That the gospel is for people without hope. That the gospel is for a world that needs healing. And I'm excited because we're getting ready to start dreaming again, to move forward in God's promises in the next season. And that's an exciting thing, church. A really exciting thing. You know, I'm going to invite the worship team up, actually. You know, I don't know where you're at coming to the end of this year, church. But I do know for some of you, it's been hard. And it's been challenging in testing God's promises for your life. But as a church and as a community, we're here to say that we're here to stand with you and declare over your life that God's promise is still there. That your purpose and your calling matters. That we still believe in that purpose and that calling. And for those of you who need someone to come alongside you and pray, I'm just going to invite you to just raise your hand, and you know, we're going to pray with you. We're going to stand with you as a community and declare that God's purpose is still there. We're going to invite you to, you know, just lift up your hand and just be willing to pursue after God again. Be willing to be open to the things that God has for your life again.